may or may not be aware of. Your sitter is actually a collection of a lot of different things, and I don't think we generally think about it this way. I'll ask you a funny question. Ready for this? What part of our tefillah in the morning is actually like davening? Like, where does davening begin and end in the morning?
What do you mean by davening?
Yeah, what do I mean by davening? Answer my question. Yeah, there's like brachas in the beginning. Yeah? Are those brachas part of like davening? Do you have to do that in shul?
No. I mean, Sephardim don't. Try and do it at home.
Try and do it at home? Yeah? And then you have like these karbanos things going on?
Yeah.
And psuke de zimra?
Yeah.
And shema?
Yeah.
Shema's just like girls from the Torah.
Yeah, what's that all about, right? You're not actually davening when you say Shema, right? And then Shemot Esrei is like davening, right? So when you start to think about it, like if you were... If you were starting to break down, what exactly... Well, right now I want to give an overview of when we daven what we call Shacharis. Shacharis is actually composed of a number of components that really, you know, they're not, I don't know if they need to be there. Like, it's, so what's the core? Let's work around the core. What is, when we say, did you daven today? What do we mean?
Did you daven Amidah?
Shemoneh Esrei, yeah?
Yeah.
You call it Amidah, Shemoneh Esrei.
Okay, is that what people usually think?
That's what I think. I feel like that's what you're supposed to think, but like,
I do Shema. When you ask me if I do a daven, I'm thinking Shema.
Okay, read that.
Well, really?
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. You know why? Shema. Because Shema, which is connected, yes? Shema is connected to Shemoneh Esrei, right?
How do I know? What do I mean is connected?
You can't talk in between. Shema and then everything else, and then you lead into...
Because Gal Yisrael, right? Yeah. That bracha, which is the after bracha of Shema, you're not supposed to break between it and Shemoneh Esrei.
So it's actually the bracha of Shema that we call Gal Yisrael.
That more on the first side? Like
that? I don't know what it is. Okay, so we already have a
right? This Gal Yisrael is like this connector.
Right? And it's a bracha. It's not actually Shema. It's a bracha on Shema.
Shema also has brachas before. Right?
Yeah.
So when we speak about davening, what is davening? When we say that, what does davening mean? What does it mean?
Your sitter's not script. I could read it.
Sorry? What is davening?
Davening,
it's Amida.
It's not. I think what it is that it's a combination of both thinking and praising Hashem, and then asking Hashem for our needs and wants and desires.
What is Shemoneh Esrei? Shemoneh Esrei is praising, asking, thinking.
Okay, so I'm gonna write it in.
There you go.
Bracha is
bakasha.
What does that mean?
Is request.
That's Shema.
That's Amidah.
Oh, I just said ask. What did I
say? Bakasha request.
No, you didn't. I
got one.
Bakasha request is really the essence of when we speak about davening, speak about prayer. That's... any other things you'd like to throw out? Just to show, just to flex? So, you know, bakasha is like the essence, the core of tefillah, prayer. Yeah?
Yeah.
Why? Okay, so why is that? If you accept what I just said, why would that be?
Wow, because that's the biggest chunk.
Because what Hashem wants from us is to turn to Him when we need things.
Yeah.
And there is a pretty significant machlokas, I don't remember the last time we spoke about this, whether or not daily prayer, meaning every single day, no matter what, is a mitzvah from the Torah or not. There is a machlokas about that. But everyone agrees, no matter what you hold, everyone agrees that there's a mitzvah from the Torah that when you need something, asking from Hashem. I had a Talmud a few years back, a very special guy, really good piano player, by the way. And he wanted to go into dentistry. I should really follow up and find out what he's holding. And he wanted like an internship for the summer. See, so he called
Mesa?
Up.
Seth Mesa?
Jeff Bezos?
No, he called up a friend of his, a rabbi friend of his, who knew like a bunch of dentists, you know?
Yeah.
And his rabbi said, no problem, I can get you an internship without a problem for the summer. Really not a problem at all. I mean, what do you need to do? You're not going to be a hygienist anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, like it's not a problem. So, like, time goes by, and he called up the rabbi, and he's like, what happened? He's like, nobody called you? Nothing doing? He's like, no. He's like, doesn't make any sense. Then he asks him, you davened for this, right? So he goes, no. He's like, well, how am I supposed to get you an internship if you don't daven for it? He's like, okay, fine, Rabbi, that's fair. Like, how much do I need to daven? 3 times a day, idiot. So he's okay. Yeah. 3 days later, he had his internship. Like, that's the way it goes. Hashem is waiting for us to ask. That's what Hashem wants. Because it shows that we trust Him. We understand where things really come from. And so when we have a request, we need something. Hashem says, I want you to turn to me. In addition, of course. In addition to what we call, what's the word?
Like,
doing things?
Asking things.
Hishtadlus.
Yeah.
No, hishtadlus. In addition to doing things to show that we're playing our part, we have to ask Hashem for it and understand that it's really coming from Hashem. Here's the but. And this is what a lot of you were pointing out. The but is, what happens when you need money? You just go to your parents and say, I need money? Does that work for you? Does that work for them?
Doesn't work for them.
No, what are you supposed to do exactly?
So basically, give an excuse that I need to get something for the family and like they give you much more money than you actually need.
What?
What's the derech eretz dicka way to approach somebody when you need something from them?
You express
your appreciation. No. You say thank you afterwards, right? So this is just pasha. You know what do we call this?
Praise.
What do we call it?
Is it praise?
Brown nose.
It's feeding into ego.
Shabbat. Shabbat means praise.
Like praise.
And then what do you call thank you?
Gracias. I got three right.
Gracias.
Hoda.
Oh yeah, hoda.
You said that as you were.
This is the official format of prayer. Yeah? This is the official format of prayer. You cannot just go up to the Rebbeinu Shalom, just go up to the Rebbeinu Shalom and say, I need a laundry list, you know. He is not Santa Claus, you know. So, but to approach a Kaddish Baruch Hu and say, you're amazing, you're all capable, you could do anything. I could really use this. You know? So that's the Derech Eretz Dicka way to approach Hashem. And afterwards, to understand that to understand that everything comes from Kaddish Baruch Hu. And thank him, which is really fascinating, because did you get it yet?
What?
When you say thank, when you say modim, did we already get everything we just asked for? So why are you thanking him?
For listening.
Because we always have to have in mind that, like...
Yeah, like, it's done already, you know what I'm saying? Like, Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to do what he's going to do. You know? And we trust that it's going to happen. Yeah. And if it doesn't, then it's in our best and just not, and whatever, you know? So there's things. Okay, so that's...
To feel the work, bro.
In what sense?
Like, we already has our feet on the floor.
Change it, please.
Oh, that's please, Hashem, change it.
What exactly is your question?
He's saying you can't change anything, so why was the point of dominating in the first place, basically? Don't speak for me.
So,
I forgot,
you want to know, like, let's, like, money example? Or what? Let's say, for example, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu, to set aside your budget to be X, right? So, you can't really work with that. Like, it is what it's going
to
be, right?
You can't pray for yourself to change your salary.
Right. Yeah. That probably won't happen. I mean, probably you could if you dive in hard enough. But, like, assuming that we don't, you know, assuming no one really goes that crazy, like, let's assume that it's a little challenging to charge.
You should ask Hashem to change your salary. Because if you have a top load, Hashem decides what salary you're going to get. It's not your boss.
He's saying once it's set in Rosh Hashanah, it's a little bit hard to change it.
At the end of the month in the mail. You can't dive in for Hashem to make that an extra $500 on the paycheck.
But
who knows, the boss may change his mind.
But there's all kinds of other things that could definitely happen in all kinds of ways. Like, there's like a million things that could happen. Whether it's how it's going to be distributed, or, you know, Kaddish Baruch Hu could make sure that other things don't happen. Unless, you know, I have a certain budget, but when a guy comes and says, oh, your roof needs to be replaced, and now I have to spend tens of thousands of dollars on it, like, that's not exactly something that I expected in my budget. You know? But if that doesn't happen, you know, so, like, a million things. There's so many ways that could have been just. But here's the point. Shemona Esrei breaks down into these three. And that's really the essence of when we daven every day. It's really the Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei is the most important part of our davening every day, and we do it 3 times a day. Shema got connected to it, because Chazal said we want to connect Geula to Tefillah. The bracha of Gaal Yisrael, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, that's how we approach Hashem Shemona Esrei. Now, just a thought about that for a minute. We could spend the whole day on everything that has to do with davening, but a thought about it is, if you really begin to think about what you're saying before you start Shemona Esrei, I mean, just very quickly, if you have, you want to look at it, feel free. Otherwise, just listen. You could actually start dancing. You know, Hagad, I'm reading the last bracha. The last bracha is Ezra Sabuseinu Atahu Me'olam. Yeah, Hashem, you've helped us out forever. You are a shield. You save to all of the descendants of all of those people every single generation. You know, you're in the highest places in the entire world, and all of your judgments, you know, are righteous. Wow. Rich as a person, like chocolate, rich chocolate. You know, Sheyishma le mitzvos, he listens to your mitzvos, and he speaks about your Torah. You're true. Anyway, it goes on about all of this, just praising Hashem. And then it starts describing Mitzrayim, all the salvations of Hashem. And he says, for example, you took us out of Egypt. Now, Egypt, you have to think about what that meant and what that was back then. Nowadays, we like fly in and out on an airplane. You know, like you have to put yourself back into what it means to be in Egypt in those times and what it meant to be there, what it means to be a slave there, that you took us out from being slaves, you redeemed us, which had never happened in the history of Egypt because where were you going to go? You can't escape into the Sinai Desert. Like, where are you going to go? If you're a slave, that's it.
Blocked by the sea.
So that was a big...
It's like the only civilization.
That was it. That was the first time such a thing had ever happened. Like, slaves left Egypt. That had never happened before. And then you demonstrated your love for us by killing all their Bechorim. But our Bechorim you redeemed. And then you split the sea.
Yeah.
That's not a little thing. You split the sea. Vizadim Tibat and all those people who were chasing after us to bring us back to Egypt, they all drowned. And you saved us because you loved us. And then the water covered all of them. Not one of them survived. So back then, our ancestors praised you. And Yedidim, those who were so special to you, they started singing and they started blessing you and giving thanksgiving to the God that is constantly with us and, so to speak, alive and existing, the greatest one that Mashpil Geim puts down all of the arrogant, Magbiya Shralim raises up all the humble, he frees those who are bound, like people in Gaza, hostages, Upode Anavim. And he redeems all of those who are humble. Ozer Dalim, he helps all those. For only Lamaveshavim, and he answers his nation when they cry to him. Wow, let's give praise to Hashem. Yeah, you guys ready? It's like we're calling to each other in shul, yeah? Come on, guys! Tilos Lekel Elyon. Moshe B'nai Yisrael, you know what they did? Chanu Shir, they sang B'simcha Rabbah with an incredible simcha. You know what they said? Micha Mocha B'Elim Hashem. Wow, Hashem, nobody's like you. Micha Mocha Nidra B'Kodesh, the holiest thing. No, Rasa Helos, wow, your praises, everything's just so awesome about you. You do amazing, wondrous things. You know what? It's time for a new song. Shimcha Ge'ulim, Shimcha Sfas Hayam. That's what they sing on the river edge. Water crashes down on the Egyptians. They thought they would be dragged back to Mitzrayim. It crashes down on them. Everyone that had oppressed them for 210 years is gone. We're free. We have our own new destiny. Like, that's where we are now. Sfas Hayom, on the river, on the banks of the river. Yachad Kulam, they all got together and they made you king. And you know what they said? Hashem Yimloch La'olam Vod. This is the introduction to Shemoneh Esrei. How do we say it? It's crazy, no?
Yeah, that's crazy, that's, no? That's sad.
when you think about what's going on here, it's like everyone's supposed to be like, wow, he's just trying. Yeah, Hashem can save. Hashem can do anything. Hashem freed us. Hashem did things. Wow, unbelievable. Tzur Yisrael, Kumo Yisrael, Hashem, help us. Yisrael, right? Redeem us. Go aleinu. Bring the Geula. You're Kadosh. Baruch Hashem. Go Yisrael. And everyone starts saying, I mean, you can hear that, right? You can hear how, like, that is the best background in the world to start asking Hashem for, like, Hashem, okay, we need the Gula, we need Refuah, we need Das, like, all the things we need. Yeah. Like, now you know with the confidence that Hashem can do anything.
Hashem can basically do everything.
Right? So with, like, a confidence that you feel it.
Yeah.
And when you feel it, you can start your Shema Esrei feeling like, this is really important. Yeah. The things I'm asking for now are important, and Hashem can do this, you know? And it needs to happen. I need to ask for it, and this is a real deal. So that's the connection of Gal Yisrael to Shema Esrei, just a regal achas. It's hard, right? Because we're tired and, you know, and whatever, and, you know. But, like, you got to try to get into it. The bolded words are from Az Yashir. Micha Mocha, yeah? Hashem Yimloch L'Amvot. It's from Az Yashir. Meaning we're paraphrasing, like, the essence of that song that everybody sort of like cheered to Hashem, like, you know.
But could that make be the reason why Az Yashir is like not the least like the least valuable or like the last thing to say in Sbuk Dimra? Like
it was added way later.
Yeah, and also because it's already being said. The part of it's already being said.
So, in any case, so here's what I wanted to point out. So, there are things after this, yeah?
Yeah.
Like Tachanun, you guys heard of that?
Tachanun, Ashamnu, Bigdan.
Do you guys know what Tachanun actually is?
Yes.
Yeah, I read it in English. I don't read it in Hebrew.
But what it is? Like what role it plays in davening?
It's like doing teshuvah, like it's like confessing.
But not everybody does that. That's in his aspire. Everybody puts their head down.
I don't put my we don't put our head down. So I'm out of this.
Never.
We don't put our head down. No.
Really?
No, we don't put our head down. We never do that. And not even for Monday and Thursday.
Really?
No, we don't put our head down. We do a lot of vayavos. We do three extra on Monday and Thursday.
So Tachanun is supposed to be. Rescuing if we messed up. Rescuing if we messed up. All right, we can discuss that another time.
Yeah.
In any case, so this is like Dallas, right? Monday. What's Psukei de Zimra?
I think it's like we're trying to get.
Nobody knows, so nobody gets in trouble for that.
I skip it.
Well, somewhere I'll show you Shabbat.
What is
Psukei de
Zimra? What is its role? Why are we here?
I think it's Psukei de Zimra gets our mind ready to say the Zayam.
Yeah.
Bro.
The Zayam.
We have more Kavana while saying. The Shema, and like, you know, it goes slower than the Chazan,
yeah,
but then you start Shema Esrei a little later.
Like that,
or
then
should
also,
you rush through and try to make it?
You're supposed to start down Shema Esrei with a Tzibur. Now, to rush through Shema is also not good. So if you know you're going to like a super fast minion, really what you're supposed to do is make sure you get there early enough to start Shema before that.
You should rush through Psukei de Zimra?
What?
You should rush through Psukei de
Zimra. It's better to rush through Psukei de Zimra than to rush through Shema Esrei.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Psukei de Zimra? So Psukei de Zimra, it's crazy. Like
it's a
warm-up. Yeah, but in other words, every Jew is coming to Shul and praising how Kaddish Baruch Hu runs his world. You know? That's what's going on. Everyone's supposed to try to get in touch with it a little bit and try to understand the words a little bit and remind ourselves that Kaddish Baruch Hu, he does amazing things in the whole world and it's everybody praising Hashem. That's why it's, so to speak, the least important thing. Because we are going to praise Hashem in Shemana Esrei, and we are going to talk about the Geula, and you know. But that's what Psukei de Zimra is all about. When you think about it in the abstract, not like at 6 o'clock in the morning when you're doing it, which you're not doing at 6 o'clock, but at 9. You know, when you...
5:30.
when you think about it like that, like, just imagine a world, yeah? Just imagine this for a minute. All these people are sleeping. All the Jews start getting up. And they all start going into the house of prayer. And they all start just like praising this amazing God. I mean, you hear it. You hear how this is like an amazing thing. Every day begins with the Jews getting up, going to shul, and like praising Hashem. It's like an amazing thing when you think about it. We don't think of it like that. We're like, it's my prayer. I have to go down with it. No, forget you. Imagine the world. It's a world. All Jews getting the light goes on, You see all the lights, everyone's going to shul. All of a sudden, all of these tefillos praising Hashem, first thing in the morning. So the day begins in the world. The world begins with the Jews waking up the world with praises of Hashem. That's what it means, you know. Psukei de Zimra. Before Psukei de Zimra,
you have something that nobody knows about.
Hey, dude, I know what it is.
You have korbanos, and of course, before that, we'll just call them brachos.
Yeah. So the brachos are the first thing because it really has absolutely nothing to do with shul. You don't have to do it in shul, so we don't do it in shul. Yeah. The Gemara talks about doing these things when you wake up in the morning. You're supposed to make that bracha when you hear the rooster crow, you know. So
That's pretty good research.
Yeah, thanks. And the Gemara actually describes at each stage of the game of your morning which bracha is associated with that thing. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Karbanos.
Karbanos.
Can we do it?
Sure.
Can we do it?
Yeah.
Can we do it?
I mean, Tigre isn't close part of the parsha as well because Vayikra and Sa, we're learning about. Okay.
So this week's parsha. Okay, so let me just explain what's happening over here. Yeah, not gonna sleep.
I'm not
going to
sleep
about it. Baruch HaTzvah, you know that I'm Shakol, and you have to be Baruch.
Amen.
I'm not sleeping until Pesach starting now.
Thank you.
Okay.
For the free, amen.
Here's what I want to do. Yeah? I'll push it all at least. I outlined our basic davening for you. That's number one. So everybody should know this, yeah?
Yeah.
There are different components of davening, different parts. They each have a different role. I want to discuss with you the role of Korbanos. Why in the world is there this thing called Korbanos in our Siddur? It has nothing to do with Shemana Esrei. It has nothing to do with Tachanun. It has nothing to do with Shema. Not part of the Zimra. What is this Korbanos thing that's in the Siddur? Yeah? You have a question or something?
I mean, I want to answer your question.
Okay. What do you want to say?
Say is the Korbanot, is the importance of Korbanot is that since we don't have the Bein HaMikdash, what we do is that we say it to elevate ourselves, you know, as if we did, you know, because there is no sacrifice, sacrifices can't be made, so we're trying to elevate ourselves by saying it.
I would say it much stronger. I hear what you're saying. I would say it a little bit stronger. I would say that it says in the Nevi'im, when Nishal Maparim Sifaseinu, when Nishal Maparim Sifaseinu means that we pay for cows with our mouths. Which is much cheaper than money, right? So, Neshama Parma Sfaseinu means, sometimes I just say jokes to entertain myself, because no one else is listening. So, the Navi tells us, Neshama Parma Sfaseinu, that we will replace the cows with words. It's the best we can do. The Gemara says, it actually goes back to Avram Avinu.
Vegans.
Avram Avinu.
That's what it
says. Avram Avinu, there's a famous pasuk. When Avram Avinu has this, you guys know what Bris Ben Abisarim is?
No.
The bris, the covenant, Bain.
Oh, that one's
between
son.
Between
God,
Bitalim.
How Israel would achieve for
the bushes.
That's God,
right?
What?
What Avram asked God, like, how it,
yeah,
would get forgiveness.
Yeah, right.
When the temple is gone.
But maybe like, what are you looking at? Couldn't you get an art scroll? So, Gemara Megillah. Gemara Megillah. So,
you want to know what God replied?
Hold on. So, Avram Avinu.
It's Megillah 31a.
Thank you. Avram Avinu has a covenant that he makes with Hashem that's referred to as the covenant.
Dude,
between
you
the.
My favorite guys
parts. Covenant between the parts. Covenant between the parts. Robbie has a significant part, but that's not what we're discussing right now. We're discussing that Avram Avinu had all of these animals and he split them. Just try to get everybody involved. And Avram Avinu split all of these animals into parts. And he made a covenant with God by walking in between them. And there was a fire of Hashem that passed between them with him as his part
of
the covenant.
Happen?
This happens in the Torah.
This is in the book.
In the book. Straight up.
And God replied.
Bum, bum, bum.
I know God replied to this question. I just know for some reason.
It says in Parashas Lech Lecha. You want to see it inside? You want to? You guys should know this. This is like pretty fundamental to our religion. You want to see this inside? So if you want to look, it's a Parshas Lech Lecha. It's Bereishis, Perek Tes Vav. Yeah, Bereishis 15, and then it starts basically with Shishi, which is Pasuk Zayin. V'yomer Elav Ani Hashem. I'm God. Hashem Tzitzichem Ur Kastim. I don't know what took you out of Ur Kastim. We know Ur Kastim from Chumash only by the name. The Medrash says it's called the fire of Kastim because that's who's thrown into the fiery furnace for rejecting idolatry, right? Because I'm going to give you this land. Right? This session, I'm promising Avram Avinu, Eretz Yisrael. So Avram says Hashem, how do I know that I'm going to inherit it? That it's going to become a heritage for my family forever.
Should have just said it, bro.
Now the Ramban, like, blasts Avraham Avinu for saying that. Like, we don't believe in God. God just says he's going to do it. Like, what kind of question is that? So, according to the Ramban, what's about to happen, where Hashem actually tells Avram his children are going to be slaves in Egypt, it's a punishment for not believing in God. Wow. Who could say such a thing? The Ramban said it.
I thought it was like Avram was like asking God for like promise sort of thing. Like
exactly. That's like where Megillah says.
The animals on his back, they're alive or dead?
You shech them.
Oh, they're dead.
And then they die. So,
that'd be so, such
fun. The Gemara does not work with that approach of the Ramban. Yeah? The Gemara says that it was a different conversation, which was what Kupa is reading in the art school. But can we just see what the Parsha says? Because you guys are Jews and you got to know this. So this, by the way, this is super central to Pesach also. Because when we say the Haggadah, we say every generation someone rises up to destroy us. And Hashem promised that he's never going to do that. You remember what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. That's Bris Meir Zarim. That's what it says in the Haggadah. That Hashem promised Avraham that your children are going to be slaves in a strange land for 400 years, and then they're going to come out with great property. Yeah? And then we say, Bechol dar vador, omdim aleinu l'chal oseinu, v'kadosh baruch hu matzilenu miyadam. Every generation someone rises up to destroy us, Hashem saves us. It's because of this covenant. It's this covenant Hashem made with Avraham.
Thanks, Avraham.
And that's why we connect ourselves with Avraham. Hashem, okay, okay, what do you say? No. Okay, Avraham. We go back to Avraham. So Avraham says to Hashem, how do I know that I will have this as a heritage? Meaning, does Gemara learn it?
Sometimes.
What does Megillah 31a say?
Yeah.
God replied.
What was the question?
Oh, Abraham asked God how Israel would achieve forgiveness when the temple would lie in ruins and they can no longer bring offerings.
So the way the Gemara interprets this is that Hashem says, okay, so you want to see it inside? You want to see it inside? No? Yes? No? No? Fine.
Yes.
So this is Pasuk Ches. So this is 15:8. Vayomar. Hashem Elokim, B'maydaki Rashana. Hashem, you promised me this land of Eretz Yisrael. How do I know that it will be a permanent heritage among my children? Yeah?
Yeah.
Great question. Vayomar Elov. So Hashem tells him, take Egla Meshuleshes, Ez Meshuleshes, Ayel Meshulesh, Vesar Vegazel. Take these bunch of animals. Take them all, split them in half, and put them on two sides. And then it says, but the bird he didn't split. But you're right, and it talks about other things, which there's a lot to talk about here. We're going to keep it very simple. And then Hashem tells him, by the way, your children are going to be slaves in a strange land for 400 years, which is Egypt.
Yeah.
So what is it? What's the answer? The answer is Hashem says, I'm making a covenant with you. The way the Gemara Megillah learns it is Hashem's answer to Avram was karbonos. In other words, according to the Gemara Megillah, okay, let me do two things right now. Number one, let's talk about the simple pshat. And number two, then we're going to understand it the way the Gemara understands it, which is another level of understanding it. The simple pshat is that Hashem says to Avraham, we're going to make a covenant. Yeah? And with this covenant, you're going to know that I'm promising you that your children will have the land of Israel as a heritage. And the proof is, we're still there. Yeah? It worked.
Yeah.
But Avraham wants a guarantee. So Hashem says, no problem, we're going to make a covenant. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Simple pshat. Level two. The Gemara says, why does it have to be this way? You know, like lots of ways to make a covenant. You know, why does it have to be with all these animals and like all these things? So the Gemara explains, because really what Hashem was telling Avraham is, because what are you concerned about? That I'm not going to keep my promises? No, that's not the concern. The concern is, there's a covenant. The concern is, well, maybe they'll mess up. Ah, that's a legitimate concern, right? I'm making a deal with you. I'm a big tzaddik, Avraham Avinu. But how am I going to know that my children are going to be able to have this? Maybe they'll mess up, which we did. Yeah, he was on target about that. So how do I know that they're going to be able to keep it? That's how the Gemara Megillah understands it. So Gemara says, ah, Hashem answers, karbonos. What's the answer then, according to that? Because when you mess up, you'll bring a karbon and you'll fix it. When you sacrifice and you give a sacrifice to God, it's like you killed yourself. It's like you're sacrificing your money also. There's a lot of different elements here. And that will bring atonement for the Jewish people. So far, so good?
Yeah.
What's the problem with that? Poop?
Sakura.
What?
What's the problem with Korbanos?
There's no temple.
What happens if you don't have a temple anymore? Yeah. And you can't bring sacrifices then. You're stuck, right?
No.
They ever think about that back in the temple? It's like, whoa, what happens if this Mikdash is gone? What do we do?
So
it was
because God said.
Oh, because God said. What?
When you read the scriptures.
Scriptures?
The scriptural ordering of the offerings. I will consider it as if they had brought the offerings and I will forgive their sins.
Okay, so this is really, 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 really important. Yeah? Because according to Coop, and he's just paraphrasing the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara is
bold accusation. I just got rid of the Kodesh.
That is a goat on your head right now, in fact. So, what the Gemara is saying is, and this is obviously very important, is that when we mess up, we bring Karbanos. What if you can't bring Karbanos? What do you do to save the day? So the answer is, when you recite the Karbanos, Hashem says, it's as if you brought them. When you recite the Karbanos, it's as if you have brought them.
Yeah.
That's huge.
We learned that from where?
From the Gemara Megillah says it out. I don't remember if the Gemara plugs it into Pesukim here or not. I haven't seen the Gemara in a little while.
It's also 20 Panis.
Okay.
That's what my guess. 27
So, that's huge, no? That means, like, let's say nowadays a person, Chas V'Shalom, would be Mechal Shabbos, right? And they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I messed up on Shabbos, you know? So, you know, technically, you should be able to recite the Korban Chatas. And it's as if you brought a Korban Chatas. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, if you can't bring Korbanos, the Gemara says, no problem. The Navi says, this is a real thing. Not like a joke, not like cutesy. Like, it's a real thing. When you recite Korbanos, it's like you're bringing them. You get credit in Hashem's eyes. Because it's not that's the best you can do. So that means that reciting Karbanos is pretty darn important. Every single day, the Jewish people were supposed to bring two tamidim. Tamid in the morning and tamid in the afternoon. It was a Korban Ola, which meant it was completely burnt up. And it was a Korban of Klal Yisrael, not in any individual. And that was a Korban that all of Klal Yisrael brought. The last time we brought this was the day before, used to have the big time of the Chashmonoim. Yeah, the second temple period with the Hasmoneans. So there was a big fight between the two schools, yeah? So some of them were in the Beis HaMikdash, and some of them were laying the siege, you know, outside Jerusalem, and every day they would send down money, and every day they would send up the sheep for the Karban, until one day, remember what happened? They sent down the money, they sent up pig.
What?
And that was the end of the Talmud in the temple.
What?
That's crazy.
Crazy. So
they used to, like, parade pigs around. Yeah. Like the bad times, like toss pigs in there, like statues.
So it's pretty hype. This is the role that of Karbanos, right? That's why it's in the Siddur. Yeah? That's why it's in the Siddur. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you something I already mentioned to you when we were learning Gemara, is that, what about Musaf? What about Musaf?
Musaf is a korban.
What about Musaf?
It's a korban.
Musaf is a korban. What do we do about Musaf?
We were just saying how a korban was sacrificed. We're just saying it. Like,
right. So what do we do today?
We just read out the korban.
When?
During Musaf. I mean,
right. That is what davening Musaf is.
Yeah.
Davening Musaf is how we bring the korban Musaf. We spoke about this.
Yes.
That's how you bring the Musaf. Now. The truth is, on those days when we have Musaf, we mention the Tumid in Musaf. I think I mentioned this when we did this, yeah?
Yeah.
We're trying to... But on a daily basis, the Tumid is part of Karbanos. So if I can have your cooperation for the next 6 minutes, I want to just very quickly go through with you in the Siddur what is in Karbanos. Because probably no one's ever done this with you.
I know.
So in your app or whatever you have, take a look and let's just see what's here so you understand what's happening in Karbanos just in case you make it early enough to say.
The
labor? Yeah.
The taking of the ashes.
So, do you see everyone following Coop? The first paragraph here in Karbanos is called the labor. No one's ever heard of a labor. Yeah? A labor. The cup or labor?
I'll tell you what the labor is.
Labor? What's a labor?
Before the
it's climb, like a slaver?
Yeah, no, they had to sacrifice water and pour it in their hands.
Sacrifice
and
water?
Sanctified.
Oh. Is that what the Korban would look like?
This is the water that is drawn from the
lake. Bro, is this Korban? No?
It says it in Hebrew.
Wait,
so,
can I take a look at it for 1 second?
Yeah. So, in the Siddur, it starts off with the... it starts off with what the Siddur calls the Kiyor.
Oh.
which translates in English in the stupid word called a laver nobody's ever heard. Yeah? But a kior is like a fountain. It's a
copper basin.
A copper basin, which the Kohanim had to wash their hands and feet from before they could do any avoda. This was critical. So the first thing that is in our siddur is, interestingly enough, not a korban.
It's a preparation.
We recite the paragraph about the fountain that they would wash their hands and feet from. Obviously, we're doing that because, so to speak, we're doing that. Right? We're doing the preparatory avoda of washing our hands and feet.
Are we supposed to say it as we wash our hands?
No. By the way, you're supposed to make sure to wash your hands before you daven, right? Just like the Kohanim would. We don't wash our feet. We only wash our hands.
I wash everything.
Right. And then maybe. Anyway, so...
Are you saying I should wash my hands right before diving? What if I say that's
a lot of time? As long as you kept track of your hands, you know where they've been, you're good to go. Yeah, but if you have like no idea where your hands have been, then we assume you probably put your hand down, scratched your back. You probably like did all kinds of
other. Scratch your back, you need to wash your hands?
If it's your skin, 100%.
What the?
If you touch your shoe.
That's why the really from people scratch their head like this. That's the really from. That's really.
But what about?
You have to say all the time.
What about?
Only wash your hands. We don't see all the details of that.
Is it 1-2 or
1-1-1-1? Alternating. What?
You can just put soap on your hands.
That's why people are affected by the hands. You know, the best thing to do is to wash from a cup.
Is it 1-1-1 or
1-1? 1-1. Three alternating, right? 1-1-1-1-1-1. Juju.
2-1.
That's the proper way to wash for davening. But the truth is, if you're washing just for davening, you wash in the morning already? And this is just for davening? Truth is, you just need to wash once.
What if you already, if you already did Negulot, so you could just go straight into
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. Because there's no break in between, and you kept track of your hands. Okay, anyway, but the point is that the first thing we recite as part of our korbanos is that the Kohanim used to wash their hands and feet from the kior. That's A. B, this week's parsha. This week's parsha is what's called Trumas Hadesha. Truma literally means to raise up. Yeah? Truma. We give truma to the Kohen.
Yeah.
We take our grain, we raise it up, we make it sanctified, and we give it to the Kohen. But it's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is just called, ready? Trumas? Ha? What? Trumas ha? Not trias amisim. Trumas?
Hadreshim.
Hadeshen. Trumas hadeshen. Now, okay, this is a little bit misunderstood. I'm going to tell you what people probably think, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Deshen means ashes. Trumas Deshen means, I don't know, raising up some ashes. That's a funny thing to say. And let me explain it. On the Mizbeach, there were, what do they call them, pyres or something? You know, wood, fires.
Yeah.
Logs, sticks, wood. There were several of them. There was not just one on the Mizbeach. One of them was for Ketores. One of them was for Karbanos. There were several. Machlokes, how many, whatever. Yes, more than one. The main one was for Karbanos. Obviously, after a while, you get a lot of what there?
You get a lot of what?
What? What builds up over time? Coals and ashes. And they don't just like go away. Anyone that's ever made a barbecue or a bonfire knows you get a lot of ashes. And when you're done, there's a lot of ashes. And if you keep doing more, there's more ashes. After a while, you got to do something about the ashes. Yes? People think, it's incorrect, that the first part of the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash was removing the ashes. That's not true. Trumas HaDeshen means to take a little bit of the ashes and dump it off to the side.
Oh, I'm not going to lie, I would drink those ashes.
You don't drink those. So those ashes just get put off to the side. That is the first avoda of the day. What's the avoda? To take some of the ashes.
Only some.
A scoop of the ashes, and you put them off to the side of the Mizbeach, to the place where things get swallowed up miraculously in the earth, whatever. But you remove a little bit of it. If there's a ton of ashes, practically speaking, you're going to have to remove them. That's not an avoda. Let me explain. Anything which is officially avoda has to be done by a Kohen. If it's not officially avoda, it can be done by
anyone.
So removing the ashes, not Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen is the raising up of a little bit of ashes.
Yeah.
That's the first avoda of the day. Only who can do it?
Kohen.
LeBron. And they used to have a whole a finger raffle. You know what I'm talking about or no? Really? Yeah, the finger raffle? Yeah, yeah. It was like they raffled things off in the base of Mikdash, and that was the first raffle of the day. It was for Truma Sedeshen. What?
It's not just finger raffle.
They had a number, and everyone had to hold up a finger, and then whoever got it. Yeah, did a whole thing. It's so cool. I'm learning stuff. Anyway, but anyway, so Truma Sedeshen is not the removal of the ashes. Removing the ashes, a janitor could do. But Truma Sedeshen was avoda, they required a kohen. Okay, so far so good. First one is washing hands and feet from the kior. Second paragraph in the siddur is Truma Sedeshen. Does it say Truma Sedeshen in yours? The next paragraph after kior?
Taking of the ashes?
Yeah. Is it Truma Sedeshen? If you'd like to read it.
No, only
what? What is yours? How's yours translated? Raising up the ashes? Sanctifying? Taking? Taking the ashes.
You want me to say what it says?
If you'd like. I don't mind.
I don't care.
Is it interesting?
The verse they recited here because they concern the first service of the day to remove a small portion of the ashes from the previous day.
Love it when I'm like validated.
Performed first thing in the morning before the Tumid, the conditional offering was bought. In addition, the continual offering. It was bought. In addition, the passage contains three references up to the fire on the altar. A, al mukta on the
pyre.
The ish al mizbeach, the fire of the altar. The ish al mizbeach, the fire on the altar.
Why did it mention three fires?
This teaches that the three fires were kept burning on the altar. Yoma 45a. They were.
You just know. Which
stop? That's great. Yeah, I'm just like that. What was the second change I thought? Whatever. Once you get to my level, you'll know. They were Marcha Gadola, the large pyre. What was it?
Pyre.
Pyre, upon which the offerings were burned. There's more.
Keteris.
The second pyre for the incense, from which the Marcha Shnei Shel Keteris, from which the burning coals were taken and brought into the sanctuary for the morning and afternoon incense service. And the Marcha Lekun Ha'esh, the pyre for preparation of the flame, which was kept burning at all times in the event either of the other fires became extinguished.
Beautiful. Very cool. Yep. In this second paragraph of Truma Sedeshen, which we're saying to take that Truma Sedeshen, right? Well, the reason we're saying a second paragraph, because that was the first avoda. The first service of the day was to remove some of the ashes, not all of them, and that was an avoda, right? So we say that to, so to speak, do that avoda. So we recite it. That's the essence. On top of that.
Does that correlation then?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, what Kub added was that there's a reference in this paragraph to three different fires. It says fire three times. Why three times? Why not just one?
Because
there were three of them on the Mizbeach. Why were there three on the Mizbeach? So, there's a lot of details here. It's very cool stuff, but I don't know how to get caught up in it. But the three are, number one, for the main burning of the Korbanos. That was the main fire. Smaller one was for the Kitores. Kitores means the incense, the powder that had all the spices in it. There were special coals that were removed from the Mizbeach to bring them into what's called the Heichal, which is where all of the other parts were in the Mikdash. That's where the coals came from for the Kitores. Yeah? And number three was a constant fire. There had to always be a constant fire on the Mizbeach, practically in case one of the other fires went out, but also because that's a mitzvah to make sure there's always fire on the Mizbeach. Okay, whatever. But that's next. Let's finish this up very quickly. What happens next is the Korban Tamid. Yeah? We recite the Korban Tamid, which is the daily sacrifice for all of Klal Yisrael. That's the Tamid. If you decide you would like to try to say Korbanos in Shul, yeah? The most important thing to say would be this paragraph. Because the Tamid is the essence of everything. Everything else revolves around it, surrounds it. The most important paragraph, if you want to try to say one paragraph of the Korbanos, to just get yourself started and warm yourself up, it would be the Tamid. That's the one to say. Yeah, sure, what else? After the Tamid, you'll see the next one is called Kitores, the incense, because, of course, that was brought on a daily basis after the Tamid. And it describes all of that. Next, it finishes up with some more paragraphs here, which talk about what the Kitores was. When COVID happened, I strongly encouraged people to say this, and we said it in Shul after davening as well, like they do in Nusach Sfard, because this is supposed to protect from plagues and diseases. So
That's how it's used in the Torah. If you take a look, there was a plague, and Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron, take Ketores out where the people are suffering and plague, and it will chase away the plague. Because this was actually one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by the Malach HaMaves, the angel of death. Each angel taught Moshe Rabbeinu some piece of Torah, and the angel of death taught Moshe Rabbeinu this piece of Torah to teach him that it saves from death.
Ketores is the best thing ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Ketores is the best
so thing ever. You will find people, probably especially in Sephardi land, that will come to shul in the morning with like a cloth. You know what a cloth means? A parchment? You have one? And they will say the Ketores from a parchment. The reason for that is Kabbalistic.
3 times a day.
Because if you see the letters where they're written in the Sefer Torah, they have additional hints, which Kabbalists know all about, all the crowns on the letters and whatnot. And so if you see it in the original, you can have Breder Kavana. If you don't know what it means, I'm not sure that it's so special. But it's special to have.
Hey, I got it as a gift.
It's special. You have to use it. It was free. You should definitely use it. But in any case, so that's what happens over here. Is there's a detailing of actually what the Ketores was in a lot of detail. Then there's some more psukim to say, and then it says Abaye have a mesader seida maracha mishma de gemara veliba da bashol. That Abaye went through the list of everything else that happened afterwards. So it's a very short list. It's not a long list, but there's a short list of all of the other things that would happen in the morning tamid. Yeah.
If I let's say got to shul late, what did the davar say? Catch up.
And Baruch Shamar Asher Shabbat. That's a bare minimum, right? You have to say at least Baruch Shamar Asher Shabbat. That's the minimum.
Yeah.
You can't say
that's what time. I think of when someone says, did you daven today? Is Baruch Shamar Shabbat?
Right, so that's you know, Shema, Esrei, Shema, Shemona Esrei Tachanun are the essence of davening.
No.
No. Morning,
I know which one.
These are like the key words you have
in
on a Tuesday?
Here in the center, you guys familiar with our school, I assume, yeah? In this sitter, there actually are two more paragraphs in gray. Yeah? Because when it's Shabbos, we of course add the Musaf for Shabbos. And if it's Rosh Chodesh, we add the Musaf for Rosh Chodesh. We're going to say that anyway in Musaf. But it is written in the sitter as part of Korbanos in the morning because we are reciting Korbanos. Now,
post your kind of Torah on the wall.
He's going to be so angry.
It's a good idea.
Bro, it's that important, it should be on the wall.
I guess we'll put it on the wall then.
It can't be that important. It was all over the place. Bro, it's everywhere.
It's assumed that everyone said it when they
died. Why you did not say Mary
Kind of me in the room. I can't hear my phone. What do you want to do?
Isn't everybody dabbing in the morning?
Everyone's
dabbing. Yeah. Majority of YU is an IBC, BMP, and JSS.
So what?
So they're not saying they're going to Torah.
How do you know that?
If you dominate,
I tell you, majority of why you is not saying.
Yo, who said Birkat Torah today?
Who said Birkat Torah today?
Like the
be honest,
the brochas of the Torah.
That's why I said.
Say it right now. You guys say it every day.
Okay, I didn't say it. So that's it.
That's the problem.
Bro,
that piece
right there. Everyone's raising their hand.
Okay,
you can't learn. All right, when we walk in now,
morning program. They got
it. Might last about 10 minutes.
Right,
but
bro, say it right now. They should get some big plates and put them in each classroom.
You want to say it right now? This is where my
book is. It's not a bad idea. It just makes us into weirdos. What are dominating? Let's just take it up and dominate. What are dominating? The first thing we say.
Yeah.
Start from this page, fingers from this page.
I'm an old school guy, you know?
That would be weird.
I'm not down with, like, things on my yarmulke, you know? I'm not down with, like, you know, Yechia Derninu. I'm not down with, like, basketball teams, you know? It's like childish.
All black.
Whatever. Why do we gotta be childish? Do the right thing. We're grown up.
Bro, are you a lit block?
I just want to say one more thing, and I'm not going to spend a long time on this. I'm just going to say it. Last thing. In the sitter, after Korbanos, is one more thing. Yeah? Okay, so last thing. In the sitter, it's one last thing.
You had it for a second, you were like, now you're gaming.
You guys know what I'm talking about? Izu Makoman?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Izu Makoman? Yeah. I'll tell you a horror story. You want to know a horror story?
Yes.
It's a horror story. It's one of my horror stories. I told you this. I had, you know, I've been at YU for a long time. So I've been through stages at YU. I like did like undergrad thing and like, you know, the UTS thing. And then I did like the smicha thing. And then I did like Rosh Hashanah's kolel thing. You know, like I've been doing like a lot of things at YU. And to do those things, you have to like get accepted into like the next program, you know?
Yeah.
So some of them involve like a test, an oral test with Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't register on my phone.
Would you?
Look, I got a missed call from last night. No one texted me, bro. Who's that?
When you take
David,
when you take an Aral Bechino to Rosh Hashanah, it's terrifying.
Check that.
It's terrifying. So what happens is he asks you, like, basically, like, do you know the Aleph Beis? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, oh, do you know, like, Sukkim? And you're like, yeah. Like, and he goes to every level of like your brain. Yeah. And he goes through Torah. He starts like on the level A, and he goes level B, yeah, level C, D, E, F, G, X, Y, Z, and you're like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. It's the coolest thing ever. So I remember one time I was taking like a bechina with him for something, and he asked me some question about like karbanos, which like, I mean, how much do we know about karbanos, right? Like, you know, one learned stuff so much. And he asked a question about karbanos. I'm like, it's an ezu makoman. Yeah, it was. The answer to that question he asked me was an ezu makoman. And he's like, what does it say? Like, I knew where it was, but I didn't, like, know it by heart, you know? I got busted.
Yikes.
Eizu Makoman is not part of Korbanos, really. It's included in Korbanos because it's connected. It's really so that we make sure to learn Torah every day. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Eizu Makoman is not here for Korbanos reason. It's here to make sure that we learn some Torah every day. So, we talk about where the korbanos were sacrificed. Yeah? So if you want to know some of the details about korbanos, a lot of the main details are here. Guess how many...
Go with it.
Guys, in a typical Mishnah, it's like a machlokes, right?
Yeah.
This one says this, this one says this. Yeah?
There's no machlokes.
How many machlokes are in Eizu Makoman?
Zero. None. It's just, you read it straight down for it. It's a thing. And then you have the
Rishma Leimer.
The Gemara portion, yeah.
Rishma Leimer. What is Rishma Leimer? Rishma Leimer.
He gave me like a 13 list of rules, something like that, like leniency is about four cases.
So guys, can I say something?
It's like a 10-minute
after Birchas HaTorah, Yossi, did you say you have a Recha Hashem v'yesh Marecha?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
So
you know why? Because after you say the bracha, you say some psukim. You learn Torah by saying those psukim. What better psukim there be than a psukim of bracha?
You do from
So now we've learned psukim, and in the brachas, if you manage to get through all of that, you've covered mikra, mishnah, and talmud, right? Right. So we do it again here. We said psukim by korbanos. We said Mishnayos, Eizu Makoman, and then we say Abraisa, we say Gemara, or Rishma Leimer. And we covered all our bases. Rishma Leimer is the 13 principles of extracting all of halacha from the Torah itself, and that's how we finish our Karbanos. Okay. That was a good introduction, right?
Yeah, Rabbi.
That was good.
Very nice.